cliffcentral.com.
Pen pineapple apple pen.
Pen pineapple apple pen. PPAP. That is the song Sia chose for this morning. Oh my God, what a horrible song. I don't even know what to think of that. Ugh.
Oh, right. I don't know why they have not been renowned yet.
You love that, huh? That make you smile?
Incredible. Mm-hmm. The great thing about 2020 is we haven't had a stupid song trend yet. Gangnam Style, or what does the fox say, or just thankful.
I thought that was a stupid song that we just played, and it may not have come out this year, but we certainly played it as if it was new. Oh my God. All right, so let's just talk about this Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith situation. So apparently they have an open relationship. Now, I've met people who have these supposed open relationships, and I'm not going to be judgy about it because I have no idea how these things work. I've never been in an open relationship. I know if I am in a relationship, I kind of like it to be me and whoever I'm in that relationship with. And I don't think I'm the kind of person who likes to share. And I don't know how these people manage it, but clearly it's something that many people do, right?
And I think we're seeing it more and more these days. So by definition, to my understanding, an open relationship is a relationship where both the partners agree that they may see other people.
Right.
And I think it's that, what does seeing other people mean? Does that mean more than just sex? Does that mean that I can date someone outside of you as well?
I don't know, but I do know that this is very, it's very hard to figure this out. And I don't know how people manage, you know, it's hard enough to have just a one-on-one thing, as we've already indicated. And, you know, you've got trust issues even there for some people, because they work and they might have a, you know, someone hot they work with or something like that. And that could cause all kinds of trouble. And people are, by and large, not trustworthy. And I know that sounds like an awful thing to say, but really it's true. People have a huge problem being honest with each other. We know that relationships are hard to keep together. Will Smith and Jada, obviously, they've got their way of doing things. I'm not going to say it's right or wrong, but it hasn't worked. Because now people are starting to find out about how it goes wrong and how it can go wrong. And I don't know.
And yeah, so the rumors might have been there around Will and Jada, and you know they have themselves confirmed that they don't refer to themselves as husband and wife anymore. They say that they are beyond a marriage; they are now life partners. They say that their relationship does not involve romanticism anymore. They don't wear wedding rings.
Wow!
But I think what we were taken by, or at least I was taken by this week when August, this rapper came out and spoke about this, is the transparency in this whole dynamic. It's the fact that clearly the kids are in the know of the state of their parents' relationship.
Sure.
Because August is Jaden's friend, or at least knows Jaden. And that is how Jaden introduced this person into their marriage. And following that, August sat down with Will and had Will's full blessing that he had come into their marriage. And the fact that it would go on under the same roof. What do you say as you're getting up from the lounge? You go, okay, cheers, honey. Just see you later. Going off with my side piece now, and you know exactly what's going to happen down
the
corridor.
That this is the kid's the son's friend. Like, Mom, are you and my friend going to go and have sex again?
And we were
talking earlier this week about that that person who told me that their one brother had been dating a girl, and then their other brother started dating the same girl. Oy, oy, oy.
So this program I was talking about, Stacey Dooley, she's a celebrity of sorts in the UK. And she has produced this new show, which is fascinating, called Stacey Dooley Stays sleeps over, and she sleeps over for 3 nights at various houses in England to see how people live. And in the second episode, she stays over at a polyamorous couple's house. Wow. And they have a son. They've been married for a number of years, and then they started introducing other people into their relationship. So they either date other people separately, or they have someone living with them at some stages as part of a throuple. Mm. And yeah, and they've got this little son who walks around and doesn't see anything wrong with it, which I don't know. Is this maybe not the solution to men not being able to stay faithful?
I don't know. Look, again, I'm not going to be judgmental about this, because what the hell do I know? I've never been in a throuple. The reality is that relationships, human relationships, are very complicated, and some people make rules that they think they can stick to. I don't know what the rules of a throuple are, but there must be some parameters. Like, you can't just go around having sex with anyone you want, anytime you want, because I can't imagine how that's going to work. You know, long term, there's bound to be some problem somewhere. And I just get confused when I'm not sure how. What are the rules? Are you allowed to just go to this one's bedroom, then you go to that one's bedroom, then you sometimes sleep on your own? How does this?
Well, that's what this couple does. They have he has time with his wife. He has time with the third person. The wife and the third person have time together.
Okay, well, you know what? It sounds very adult.
It is. It came across as very mature and very controlled and very adult and very normal. And yeah, I watched it and I came out with a new kind of respect.
This to me completely shatters what a relationship is.
Yeah.
It then means what? A relationship is an understanding you have with one or more people.
Yeah, there is no true definition. There are no rules.
I mean, I don't know what to make of this. I genuinely don't know. It doesn't make me uncomfortable. I just don't know what the chances of success are, even with all the best intentions in the world. I don't know that a lot of these survive.
Well, neither do
conventional,
normal one-on-one relationships.
Sure. Yeah, I get that. I mean, you know, maybe for someone like me, this is what I should be aiming for, because I don't like being in a long-term committed relationship. I get bored very easily. And I also like to have my space. So if I had my own room and I could go off and then, you know, I could go and visit her and she'd have her own room, and it almost be like, this is fun. This could.
Yeah, I mean, imagine designing a relationship to be exactly what you want.
It sounds very good on paper. I don't know if it works, because I think eventually human nature creeps in. People develop feelings for each other. They get jealous, and that's where the tears start to come.
Well, as this woman described it, she said, because the big question is, you know, what about the jealousy? Because she actually met someone at work. This is how the throuple was formed. She met that woman at work and introduced her to the husband.
Yeah.
And she said the first time it happened, when she witnessed the two of them together, she said, I was filled with dread from my head to my midsection. Yeah. And from my stomach down, I was filled with excitement.
Oh,
that's exciting.
Yeah.
See, I see the appeal.
Yeah. She is this beautiful, like, pin-up girl type look. And so is this other woman, absolutely beautiful. And as he describes, to watch his wife being with someone else, because he doesn't get to see that properly himself when he's with her. So he can take a step back and watch her be with someone else, and it's very exciting.
Mm.
If it were me, that novelty would wear off very quickly. I'm too petty and territorial for that.
I would be
that person who wakes up in the middle of the night to go, why are you, why do you have your arm around his body, not mine?
Yeah.
I don't know. You couldn't share, Sia.
I would be the same, Sia.
No. And I think because I had such a conventional relationship and family structure that worked for my childhood, I don't know anything else. So that's all I identify I'm attached to. So I don't see anything wrong with two people heading up a household and there's a partnership and they raise kids and they build a family together. I don't know how it works any other way.
It really takes your mind into interesting places, because you think about people who you think may be able to do this right and others who you know that couldn't. Like you, Sia, just admitted that you could never do this. And I don't know that I could do it, but it does sound like an exciting proposition. Like, I think I might want to try this and see how it fits, you know?
Yeah. And you know, both of these, of the married couple, each of them came from these families where their parents had cheated on each other. Mm. And they'd grown up with all of this fighting and behind the backs, you know, secretive lying stuff going on. Yeah, and lying and... And so they decided never to have that. And they devised a way to avoid all of that happening.
You have to admire it. Like, it takes quite a lot of brave and very honest intention and conversation to make this kind of thing happen, right?
Yeah. And you also have to open yourself up and be vulnerable. You can't just go, oh, no, that won't work for me, and walk out the room. You have to really sit down and allow
it. It must be so crap if the love of your life is polyamorous, but you just want her to yourself.
Well, that's exactly how we now know of this Will and Jada situation, because August says he is head over heels in love with Jada. Oh, no. He just had to speak about this to get it off his chest. Oh, he is now deep in his feelings. And so where do we go from here when Jada wants to be as free as a bird?
Yeah, you can't bottle someone like Jada Pinkett Smith up. You can just see that she's a wild animal and she just wants to be herself, and she's not going to take anyone else's say-so to live her life the way she chooses, which again is something I think is quite respectable. She knows what she's all about.
Yeah.
Look, maybe in 30 years, as society evolves and changes and definitions get redefined, we might be singing a different tune.
Yeah.
But today, right now, I don't know.
It could happen. I mean, it could happen that way. We might end up being better creatures one day that are able to understand this a little more. I'll admit straight up, for me, it's still a very confusing area. And it might work for some people, but it might also just be a path to disaster. Honesty in any relationship is number one. So if you are 100% honest with whoever it is that you're with in this open relationship, then sure. But someone somewhere is going to lie, and then it's all going to fall apart.
I think there are very few relationships that are built on 100% honesty.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah.
Sad, but it's true. All right,
and that dynamic, man, will forever change as soon as one person mentions the idea of getting someone else in. Even if you aren't on board for the idea, you'll go, oh, so I'm not enough for you. You do want someone else.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you're interested in other people. It will forever change your relationship dynamic.
There is a big part of this show that I watched was about who floated the idea first, and would you, you know, speaking to people who are in just couple relationships, you know, would you take the chance of floating the idea to your partner? Is a huge thing about that.
Hey, by the way, speaking of shows that you told us to watch or that you've watched, I watched that show with that enormously fat woman.
And
those people who forage for ingredients and then make these amazing dishes.
Delicious.
Yeah, it was Heston Blumenthal's in it. And yeah, it's great. It's a really funny show. My sister let me watch it.
It's cool. It's you don't have to follow any series, or you can
pick
any episode and watch it, and it sits on its own.
Yeah, I found it very entertaining. It was actually really good fun.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
Yeah. Oh, no, says someone. You assholes. This is your fault, Sia. Andre says, I'm going to have PPAP throughout my glorious Friday stuck in my head.
Apple pen. Pine.
What was the music played at 7 a.m. yesterday? Homebound. I loved it, Anne. I think that was Nora and Pure and Homebound.
Always good.
Great song. Sia's taste in music is really fucked. Ugh, says Ruth.
Oh, gosh.
Is there any other word you can use there? It's just fucked.
Well, that's what she said. I'm just quoting directly from her message. Oh, my God.
All right. What, Olivia Newton-John was better?
Oh, Leanne said she wanted to hear Olivia Newton-John earlier. And yes, it was better than your crappy song.
Really?
I remembered it because just last night we were talking about how my mom and dad met.
Oh, yeah?
And they met at a nightclub called Xanadu, which used to be in Hillbrow, I think, in Johannesburg, when Hillbrow was in its heyday.
My parents used to listen to Olivia Newton-John, and I think she probably was one of the most beautiful women in the world.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, she still is.
Listen, Olivia Newton-John has been involved in this whole scam in Australia.
What scam?
So this film director, who's Australian, and he's in his, I don't know, it looks like he's in his 60s or maybe early 70s. He used to be, he produced quite and directed quite a few amazing films that are ones that we would recognize, including many that Olivia Newton-John starred in.
Oh, yeah?
And on the set of one of them, he had a photograph of her and him together. Anyway, he's now living with his brother and he's getting old. And during lockdown, especially, he was quite bored and feeling lonely. And he received an email from, it was called Olivia Newton-John's World or something like that, saying, hey, do you remember this photo? And it inserts the photo.
Yeah.
And I thought we could chat and catch up, etc. And he believed that it was her.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So he, in retrospect, he's like, I was an absolute idiot. But for weeks, he went on with this, with her saying, you know, I think you're really handsome.
Oh, no. He thought this was he thought this was Olivia Newton-John and it was an imposter.
And he actually like started falling in love with her.
Oh.
And this imposter said, don't tell anyone, you know, let's keep it between us. So his brother was seeing him SMSing all day long and WhatsApping all day long. And he said, no, I've met someone. Oh, shame, man. I feel so sad.
Oh, shame.
So I actually didn't watch to the end because it was so cringeworthy and I felt so terrible.
Man. People, when they want to fall in love, they do such terrible things. Oh, that's just so sad. I feel so sorry for this dude. I mean, I'm in love with Olivia Newton-John, and I've never met her. And I don't even have a picture with her. Plus, she's much too old for me now.
Yeah.
Hey, she can still fit into her grease pants. I mean,
she's great. But she's spending a lot of her time at the moment promoting her talentless daughter. You know, it always happens. It's like a star will have a daughter, and then the child or the son, the child ends up trying to be a star as well. And it's just a disaster. And, you know, now she's kind of promoting her daughter who's like a dancer or something. And I watched this video the other day because I'll go into music history, right? And then I'll be looking at the story of the Bee Gees. And then that'll take me into the story of Dionne Warwick. And that'll take me into the story of, you know, what's the guy's name? What do you get when you fall in love? What's the dude's name? Burt Bacharach. And then from there, I'll get into something else. And, you know, it'll go through all these different artists. And you go down that rabbit hole, and it just, you could spend your whole weekend just watching videos. And I ended up, for some reason, on Olivia Newton-John a couple of weeks ago. And I started watching a bunch of her songs. And I've never watched that movie, Xanadu, because it's very, very 70s. And it's, you know, I've never seen it because it was before my time. But my parents obviously loved it. And I remember the soundtrack. And that's enough for me. I don't need to see the stupid movie.
Yeah.
but she's then it takes me to this YouTube video where she's like introducing her daughter and she's like, this is my daughter and she's so talented and her daughter's really ordinary.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of any stars whose kids were even better than them. And I'm not getting there because I'm thinking of Julio Iglesias.
Yeah. Enrique.
Wouldn't you say Enrique is better than Julio?
Are you insane?
No.
What's wrong with
you? No. I can't even sing. I have to auto-tune him.
What a joke you are, Sia. You're an embarrassment.
Well, I grew up in an Enrique more than a Julio era. That's why I think
who,
he's better.
Who didn't? But that does no excuse.
I'm thinking of Kate Hudson and
Goldie Hawn.
Goldie Hawn.
Yes.
I mean, Kate Hudson's great, but her mom was like this icon. So, you know, Kate Hudson, you can bunch her in with a couple of other actresses. Okay. Yeah.
But usually, you know, they try very hard, but the product is sometimes very disappointing when it comes to the next generation. I mean, I'll never forget, I went to South by Southwest in Austin, Texas, and I went to see a guy called Ray Kurzweil, who's a genius. He's like one of the world's most impressive futurists. He's written incredible books. A lot of the stuff that I've shared in the show over the years has come from Ray Kurzweil. He's a really, really smart guy and so impressive. Anyway, he agreed to do South by Southwest, but probably part of the arrangement was that his daughter got to plug a stupid children's book. And I remember he went up on stage and she interviewed him. But because she's so talentless, it all became about her, and everyone in the audience was bored to death. And here's this genius man who could have been answering questions about what, you know, what robots could be doing for us in 5 years' time, and how artificial intelligence is changing the world, and what computers were like, and what they are like, and how the ability for processing power to keep on doubling every year is just such an amazing thing. And instead, he's like, yeah, well, I remember when you were a little girl and I used to read you stories. And I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake. Sit through this shit. I didn't come here for a family reunion. I was bored. Everyone else was bored, too. No one in the audience was going, yay, this is what I came for.
Wait, what about Leila Ali?
Nothing compared to her father.
Yeah, her father was just...
Come on, Muhammad Ali.
Shrouded in legacy and...
That man, there's only ever been one Ali, and it was him. He was a monster of a human being, and he just left such an incredible, unbelievable legacy. See, this is why it's almost better to not have famous parents or rich parents.
Because it will always be that comparison.
Yeah.
Think about the George Bush, the two George Bushes.
Yeah, well... It's not much of a comparison there.
Angelina Jolie. Her father is John Voight, the actor.
Yeah, all right. But then, you see, it sometimes does help if the child is of another gender. So in other words, Angelina could carve out her own career, which was so different to John's. But they are both actors. Look, I think Kate Hudson's maybe one of the few examples. You brought her up just now. I don't want us to dig any further because we're going to find disappointment.
Charlie Sheen and his father.
Come on. Really?
Oh, God. So
don't forget, Tiger blood.
Don't forget, Charlie Sheen's got a brother, Emilio Estevez, right?
Who
isn't a raving lunatic and was in Breakfast Club and a bunch of other good movies.
That's all I'm thinking about.
Martin Sheen's cool. I like Martin Sheen, but you know, Kirk Douglas. Kirk Douglas had Michael Douglas.
I guess, yeah.
Kirk was
thinking of the Trumps at the stage, even.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Well, I still think one of the greatest discoveries in the history of humanity is when you go online and you look up Donald Trump's mother.
I haven't done that.
Just do it right now. I want to just hear your reaction. This is the greatest thing.
Yes.
Leanne, go and look up Mary Trump.
Such a funny name.
Look up Mary Trump.
Hey.
Tell me, just go to images and tell me what you think of the first picture you see of Donald Trump's mother. Because weird hair is definitely in the family.
Hold on. He's got a niece, Mary Trump, as well. There she is.
The one who's...
there she is.
Yes.
How's that, huh?
Oh, she's got like... Everything that's bad about him, she's got. Oh, shame.
That is I don't know, but I'm a bit
scared of dissing Donald Trump's mother and what sort of trouble I could get myself into. But yeah, not great, eh?
Yeah, definitely different.
But then on the other side of the scale, First Lady Melania's mother. Woo-hoo-hoo.
What?
Gorgeous.
Really? Well,
gorgeous, gorgeous. Geez,
I mean, those Slovenians, they work hard until they're well into their 80s.
No, look, she's not a model, but you can tell where the looks come from.
Carla says, Joe and Michael Jackson. Well, Joe... Joe really was the fountain of talent. Look at what he produced. Joe produced Michael and Janet and LaToya and Tito and Marlon and Jermaine. Well, Jermaine. We'll forgive him for Jermaine. How about Jennifer and John Aniston?
Who?
John Aniston is the soap opera actor and father of Jennifer Aniston.
I don't remember John Aniston. So no.
He was in Days of Our Lives.
Yeah.
That means that one is... Yeah.
And then a very angry message from Tabiso this morning. What the hell did Sia just say? Better than Julio? Are you insane? Shut up, Sia. You just became the weakest link. Yes, I'm with Tabiso 100%.
Lest we forget, Enrique gave us... You can dance. If that's all you need to dance.
I can take away your tears.
And then he also gave us. Gave us all I need.
So great. What a talent.
Exactly.
Yeah, sure. Meanwhile, his father was unbelievable.
So smooth.
200 plus women a day.
Oh, easily. Jesus. In fact, we tried to get an interview with Julio when he came to South Africa. He says, I am too busy having sex with many of your women.
No.
I've got a picture with him, which is I framed it and I put it in my house.
Of course. That's iconic.
Did he have like sex appeal still?
I don't know about that because I'm not attracted to him or guys, but he's definitely got... He's got like such confidence.
Mm-hmm.
The guy's just, he walks into a room and he's like so comfortable with everyone. How are you? I'm Julio. You're like, yes, you are Julio. Fuck, of course you're Julio. You don't have to tell me that. You're a legend. And I remember in the picture that I've got, it looks like he's telling me something really important and I'm listening very intently.
Oh, yeah.
So I tell people that was where I got the greatest sex advice of my life. Of course, it wasn't sex advice, but it was just, it's a great picture. So
yeah.
I don't know why I imagine him with clammy palms.
Oh, no. Do you think he's a bit creepy?
Please, this guy, you don't even know, but he's probably had sex with your mom.
Probably.
Maybe she doesn't even know.
She doesn't even know.
I mean, really.
He's so slick and in and out.
In my mind, he was wearing a purple shirt in your photo, and he just has like four buttons unbuttoned.
No. He was dressed
with tons of chest hair.
He was wearing a pristine white shirt. He'd just come off stage, and he was wearing a black jacket, I think. I'll find the picture. Why don't I just put the picture up? I'll put it on my Instagram today and you can see.
Yeah. Don't imagine him in anything else but like
it was
suit.
Kind of more of a joke to go and watch his show because I don't really, I mean, like, a lot of his stuff is in Spanish and Italian and Portuguese and French. And yeah, you know, it's very dated. I mean, my uncle and aunt used to listen to it when we would go on holidays and they were also my godparents. So they would play his music the whole time. So it's got some kind of special connection with me when I was a kid. But, I mean, I don't, like, love Julio's music or idolize him in any way. It's just funny. It's kind of like, we're going to the Julio concert, you know.
Yeah, for me as well, it was my mom and dad were dating when I was three. And that was the type of stuff that they would listen to.
Yes.
So, a lot about your parents' dating life this morning, Leanne.
Yes, Leanne, we're learning all about them.
Very, very true.
Are you going to tell us where you were conceived next?
Yes. Oh, that was with a different father.
all the beats.
And it was, yeah, probably after, just after he got off stage somewhere.
Yeah, he was a musician.
Yeah.
You've told us about him. He was incredibly talented.
Yes, again, incredibly talented.
Again, this incredible father, and look at you.
Oh, yeah, Darren.
Oh, I'm just going to have a sip of my juice.
I love you.
I can't argue.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. All right. Listen, we're going to talk to Tracy. So let me tell you a little bit about Tracy here, because I've got to give her an introduction so you know what the hell's going on. I want you to meet her because Tracy Cohen has been a fan of the show since like the early 2000s. She lives in Cape Town. She was born with cerebral palsy, but she's devoted her life to helping others. And today's her birthday, and her one wish is to come onto the show and inspire you to help others wherever you can, however you can, whatever you have. She was born, as I said, with cerebral palsy, which is a neurological condition, which causes her to walk differently. Doctors doubted that she'd ever walk. She is unable to work due to her condition. So she's made helping others that are less fortunate than her mission. And whether that's fundraising or raising awareness, she's been following me for the last 18 years. Wow. And she used to think I was the hottest man ever, to then be being in awe of course, because I am. And in awe of my intelligence, she's obsessed with music. So I don't know how she manages to marry those two in her head. Obviously, not just the cerebral palsy. There's something else wrong with your head too then, Tracy. But it's nice to have you on the show. And listen, I really appreciate the support you've given us over the years. Thought it's time for us to give you a little support back for all the good things you do. So what's happening? Happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Yes.
Thank you.
So first of all, what happens with the cerebral palsy? How does that affect you?
It affects the way I walk, like you said. Mm-hmm. And I get tired very quickly, and I think
so far it sounds like you and Leanne have the same problem after she's had a bottle of wine. I mean, she gets very tired and she walks all over the place. And it doesn't sound like such an issue, Tracy, really.
It's like every day for me as well.
In fact, at a New Year's Eve party once, someone actually said to me, "Oh my gosh, this girl's already drunk."
Oh no.
All right, well, I mean, you can obviously get away with some things then. But listen, you spend a lot of time helping other people, which I always think is amazing, especially for somebody who, you know, has their own significant challenges. And you don't rest on the victim stuff that oh, it's me and shame, poor me. You really get out there and you help everybody else. Where do you get that kind of strength from? Have you got a very supportive family? Do you just have a really strong spirit? Where do you think it comes from?
I think it comes from, I often like marry my passion for music and fundraising and raising awareness together. So, for example, I've worked with Francois Van Cook.
Yeah.
And we did, it was called Walking on Sunshine, and we raised, I think, yeah, almost 30,000 rand for underprivileged kids and their education. Mm-hmm. I've also worked with Isaac Klavansky from Shadow Club,
yeah,
where we were doing the Argus Cycle Tour together, but unfortunately the whole thing was cancelled. And there we raised also a nice amount for disabled people. And I've run like a lot of competitions with different bands. So
I mean, music yeah, really is your passion. So how does that how does that factor into your life? Because I know when I'm feeling a little bit down or where I'm really happy, music just is the perfect complement to that. It just feels to me like life would be unbearable without music. And someone asked me once, would I rather be deaf or blind, which is a horrible thing to do because both of them are obviously quite shit. But I think being deaf and not being able to hear music would make me so miserable. Do you agree?
Totally. Yeah. Music is my life. I live and breathe music. I mean, I listen to everything from rock to pop to dance, everything. And I think music also, like, there's no sort of, you know, you can, when, at least when I listen to music, mm-hmm. I can be anyone who I want to be. And I think that's a form of escapism in a way.
So why the hell do you listen to my show? I mean, I'm hardly the most empathetic person in the world.
I think aside from music, I love thinking and learning new things. And like you, I also enjoy history.
Right.
And I mean, I see all the books behind you, and I'm like, I would do anything to come into your library.
Mm-hmm. Well, you might be disappointed. There's some not particularly great literature here, too. Look, there's a book on protocol. You really want to read that? I don't think so.
But you see, now I have to ask you, what is protocol?
Okay, so protocol is what the diplomatic corps have to study. They have to learn. And protocol is all about how to write a letter to a president and how to address people who are in cabinet and the way that you deal with a state visit and all that. It's very, very arcane and bizarre stuff. But, I mean, I found it interesting, so I bought this book once. There's also something here that you might be interested in. Tracy's favorite music. Do you want me to pull that off the shelf? Jesus, it's a fat book. A lot of things in it. So Tracy, I mean, I'm just really happy that you've found the love that you have for music, because I know how important that is in my life. And I'm pleased that you like our show, because you know what? Life is hard enough. And if we can find ways to inspire each other and make each other feel better. And I find it very inspiring that you help so many people with your time instead of just making it about you, like many people do in life, you know?
Yeah. I, like I said, if, you know, to help, even if it's just one person, gives me satisfaction. And I remember once I was on Kula's show.
Kula Andruliakos, I remember her.
Yes.
Oh, wow, that is way back.
Yeah, of course, she was cool. I liked her. Yes, go ahead.
We did an interview when she had switched to 94.7. Uh-huh. And we were raising money for this little guy's wheelchair. So anyway, we did the interview and everything was great. And then Kula emailed me back and said, you know, someone's just, you know, made contact with me and, you know, they want to sponsor the entire wheelchair.
Wow. So you managed to help that person too.
Yeah, so it was really, really heartwarming. And I had to then phone the little guy's family and say, listen, this is what has happened.
Well, that's a nice call to make. That's not a hard call to make, right? That's cool.
Definitely. Yeah. It's definitely one of my highlights of, you know, what I do. I'll always remember that whole experience with Kula and
I thought you were on the show to talk about how I inspire you. Me, not about other people, for heaven's sake. You know,
you don't like where this is going now, Karen.
I'm feeling there's a lot of competition here between me and Kula, and I just want you to talk about me. No, I'm kidding. Listen, we've got to move on. We've got George joining us in a moment or two, but Tracy, it's very nice to meet you again, and this time have you on the show. And I hope we'll all continue to walk an interesting journey together. And you keep and the way you walk is fine. It's just like Leanne, if anyone ever asks. All right.
Oh dear.
All right.
And happy birthday.
Yeah, have a great birthday, by the way. That's a very good thing. What are you going to do for your birthday today?
I'm having my hair done.
Oh, well, that's a big deal. During lockdown, none of us could do that, so that's great.
And then I'm going to see a few friends.
Nice.
Drive-bys, personally.
You're going to take part in a drive-by? Jesus, you're very aggressive for someone who's got cerebral palsy.
No, my friends are just going to drive past.
Okay, that makes sense. Jeez, I thought for a minute you were some like West Side gangster who's going to go and do a drive-by for fun on your birthday. All right, Tracy, thanks very much. Nice to speak to you. All right.
Ciao, guys.
Have a happy day. Good Shabbos.
Thank you. Bye.
Yeah. Bye. All right. There's Tracy Code. Isn't that cool?
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
See, Leanne, I only wanted her on because she talked about how I inspired
her. Yeah, figured as much.
No, what a cool story. thank
Where
you.
Would we be aren't without you,
say,
you, Karen?
Now, aren't you meant to say thank you for your service at this point?
We could.
But?
No, you don't have to say anything.
Okay.
Tracy said it all.
I'll save that for midday when I bow down to your statue.
Yeah. Yes, build a shrine.
Exactly.
Man. I'm still thinking about Will Smith and Jada. It's on my mind. It's such a
weird.
Yeah,
it feels kind of weird, doesn't it?
It's very weird. I admire it, but I don't think it's got long-term feasibility. All right, let's turn our attention to George Meany, who joins us now from his house where he's built an amazing, very professional looking studio, I've got to add. We just have George on every week, and you know, he just sounds so much better than everyone else, and that's not by accident. George is in fact a trained professional who, because he does many media jobs as part of his CEO job at Auto Trader, he also writes articles. He's running webinars. I mean, George has become a one-man media machine. And he is the envy of everyone else in the business world because he also has this excellent studio set up at home. It looks extremely professional, George. Very well done.
And he does all of this while eating a bowl of broccoli every day.
Unbelievable. Yes.
When you walk, they must envy your body.
Yeah, that too. So, George, how's your week going?
It's going well, and the shops have broccoli again. Believe it or not, the beginning of lockdown, Gareth, the shops did not have fresh broccoli. It was terrible.
I really didn't notice.
George, I'll tell you what. I had broccoli for breakfast the other day. I was inspired by you, and it took a little while for it to kick in, but I was at the shops, and I bought some broccoli, and I decided to have it for breakfast. I thought of you, and you know what? It wasn't so bad.
It's not so bad.
Come on, man. Really.
You know what is nice is broccoli, but not in the first thing in the morning, but sautéed with anchovies.
Ew. Oh, Jesus, that sounds revolting. What's wrong with you?
Can
we stop
really
this
good.
Conversation? You guys are going to make me lose my appetite for my breakfast this morning. 250 grams of sugar.
See us having the most sugary stuff he could find. Okay, so George, all of that aside, you aren't here to tell us about your eating habits. You come in every week to tell us about the world of motoring. Yes. And this week we've got some cool stories. So where do you want to begin?
Well, let's begin where we left off last week, and that is with the driver's licenses. Remember last week I was telling you that there are some extensions to expired driver's licenses and expired license discs on your car. Well, we went and did some digging because I was a bit confused as to whether this new law was close to being passed or haven't been passed yet, and that is whether you need to take your driver's test again.
Yes. So,
After doing some digging, it turns out that there are two parts to your driver's license.
Uh-huh.
The first part to your driver's license is the test itself. Okay. The second part to your driver's license is your driver's license card, you know, the little green thing you carry around. Your driving test at the moment never expires.
Oh, good. Yeah. That's good news.
So that test is valid forever. Your driving license card, however, does expire, and you incur quite a few penalties if you let that thing expire. But there is a change to this on the table at the moment, and that is that we all retake our tests every 5 years.
Okay, but so if mine expired, do I have to pay financial penalties?
Yes. So if it expires, there's a financial penalty if you go and renew it. Okay. But what's more interesting is the Road Traffic Management Corporation has got a proposal on the table that will require everybody to retake the actual driving test, not just the car, the actual driving test every 5 years.
That's like in the UK, I think.
Yeah.
And they one of the reasons for it being a law is because of an aging population and having older people redo their tests.
Well, I think there's many reasons, including South Africa is amongst the top countries in the world for road deaths.
Yeah, we have a terrible record there, and it's also linked, obviously, to alcohol.
Yes, it's very much linked to alcohol. But amongst this, or should I say, included in this five-year retaking of the test, there's a couple of other rules that are being proposed. And that is the compulsory retesting of existing drivers every 5 years to renew their license. Number two is travel restrictions on newly qualified drivers. So newly qualified drivers will be banned from journeying further than 150 kilometers per trip during the first year of driving.
How do they even monitor that? That's going to be impossible to monitor.
That's like monitoring the smoking laws.
Yeah.
Supervision of newly qualified drivers. So new drivers must be accompanied by an experienced driver during the first 6 months of driving.
Okay.
Additional testing for truck, bus, and taxi drivers. Now, here's an interesting one, because I don't know if you know that if you do your license in a certain size truck, I'm not sure what the size is, and I think it's a code 10 and above, that there's certain parking maneuvers that you don't have to execute.
I've heard about this, and for some people this is a way of jigging the system in your favor, right?
100%. You don't have to do those parking things in a car. So if you've got a higher license or a higher grade license, whatever it's called, then you can drive a car. Whereas under this new law, you won't be able to do that. So additional tests will decide whether or not they receive a professional driving permit. And then this especially is important because of the safety of people traveling in trucks and buses. But heavy truck license applicants will now have to possess a car license before testing for a heavy vehicle license.
Mm, that makes sense.
So you won't be able to just go for a truck license.
Yeah, that was a way of gaming the system in your favor. So I think that's probably a good thing that we've disposed of that, right?
Yeah, anyone who couldn't parallel park used to go for those licenses.
Yes, so this law's not yet been passed. So, your license, your driving test still is valid. Your card expires, but I think this is a good thing. I don't think it's a bad thing. One of the ministers, Mbalula.
He's the transport minister.
Yes, he says that corruption has to be stamped out before this can be policed, to your point, Gareth.
Yeah.
And what he's proposing is that all police officers wear body cams so that corruption can be stamped out.
Oh, I'm just worried that that's another ploy to get more money out of us, and we'll have to pay for these policemen to have their body cams.
No, I think it's a good thing.
They're expensive. Our security company where I live wears body cams, and they're expensive pieces of equipment.
I'll bet. Jesus. Okay, so Fikile wants our police to have body cams as well, huh? All right.
Yep. Moving to another topic, the used car market in June has shown encouraging growth. We increased by 46% versus May. Now, don't get too excited yet, because remember, May, only half the month could car dealers trade.
That's right.
So the 46% is a little bit of, just coming back to normal. So it's not a real economic increase, but it's encouraging that there was a 46% increase in June over May in terms of sales. So over 25,000 used vehicles were sold during the month of June, worth about 7.3 billion rand. Now remember, normality in the used car market is around 12 billion rand. Mm. So 7.3 is more than halfway there already.
Mm.
Well, that's good news, even if it is delayed, you know?
Exactly. But the new car market is taking strain, declined by almost 34% in the month of June. So this buoyancy in the used car market is actually probably consumers now buying used cars instead of buying new cars.
Yeah, and then we're bound to see that. Like you spoke to us a couple of weeks ago about how people are downgrading as well, and which cars are most in demand at the moment. That's always interesting stuff to talk about. So I'm sure we'll have updates over the next few months as the statistics start to line up.
Exactly. And our site is absolutely on fire. We've seen an increase to 43.9 million searches for cars in June.
Oh, wow.
Up 39.9 million in May. So,
and the worst part of that is it's one guy in Bedford View who keeps looking at cars every single day.
Probably see him.
All right. Sure. That's
and then Elon. Sorry, Gareth, go on.
No, I'm just thinking about 43 million, did you say?
Yes.
The population of the country is maybe 60 million now, right? 43 million searches in a month.
43 million searches in a month. I mean, one person does multiple searches. So, one person might do 5, 6, 7, 10 searches for a car.
That's that dude in Bedford View I was just talking about.
But still, it's a hell of a lot of activity. And then Elon Musk calls Jeff Bezos a copycat in one of his tweets. This Twitter war between Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk continues. So Tesla chief executive, well known for this, tweeted to Jeff Bezos of being a copycat for buying a company by the name of Zoox, which is a self-driving company.
Oh, yeah.
Driving car company, and bought the company for $1.2 billion on the back of Zoox having to retrench or lay off more than 100 employees. So obviously it was a steal for him, and he bought it. But Elon Musk reckons he's a copycat.
Because obviously this is Elon's area of expertise, according to him, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Is it being a copycat or smart business?
I think it's it's probably Bezos wanting to get into, I think, part of the automotive world that is going to be in our lives every day in the next 10 years. And he's seeing that coming, and he probably realizes he's late to the party because he's built Amazon.
I always wonder about these guys. They have so much money, and then because they have so much money, they can make so much more money. You know, you could buy a company that's on the skids, and it's just amazing. Like, money begets money.
Well, I don't know if you know, when Bezos divorced his now ex-wife, she became an instant billionaire on the top 12 richest people in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's definitely not, running around asking for loans from cash and carry places.
No. She immediately got into the top 12, and then to end off today, I thought it'd be a good time to laugh. 34 of the weirdest driving laws from around the world.
Ah, fantastic! I love these stupid laws from stupid places.
So in Japan, it is against the law. Have you ever driven through a mud puddle and splashed a pedestrian?
Yes, in Japan, that's illegal. Is it?
It's illegal in Japan. You can get a fine if you splash mud onto a pedestrian.
Oh, come on. What else am I meant to do when I see my ex?
Oh, dear, that's so small-minded of you.
And then in Thailand, you are not allowed to travel topless, whether you're a man or a woman.
Oh.
It's illegal. And whether you're on a bike.
But it's so hot there. Like, you want to be topless on your scooter.
You wonder why they made this law, because it's because of the heat. People are probably going around topless. So you are not allowed to be topless while traveling in Thailand.
That's no fun.
Then in Manila in the Philippines, you can't drive on a Monday if your number plate ends with 1 or 2.
Oh.
Is it to try and curb amounts of traffic?
That's weird.
It's probably to try and decongest the roads. And then it is also illegal to jump from a car over at a speed over 65 miles an hour, which is about 110 kilometers an hour.
But
that would be a good idea anyway, right? Do we need a law for that?
Yeah, I don't think so, because only stupid people would jump from a car.
Like I can't live there because, you know, I do that every day.
Yeah, that's your favorite pastime. That's what you do for fun.
Yeah. And then in, more closer to first world countries, in San Francisco, it is illegal to dry or buff your car with used underwear.
Oh, my God, oh, no.
Why would that be illegal? What else are you meant to do with used underwear?
But then how many people do that?
Lots for of them to see, that's law. All I use. Are you kidding?
How many people are getting out of their cars, ripping off their jocks and cleaning their windows?
They're not doing it there and then with the – don't you sometimes find like an old T-shirt or something is the very best cloth?
Yes, because it's a worn it's got worn fibers, so it's nice and soft. Yeah.
You people are so savage. You don't understand these things.
I don't want my old holy underwear being used anyway. Thank you.
All right, you're missing out. You are not a recycler. You're an environmental terrorist. I just want to put that on the record.
And then in San Francisco also, it is illegal. These are proper laws to drive wearing a dressing gown if you are a woman.
Yes, but that's revolting. I think that's a good law.
No, what? But no, the practicality behind that, I'm sure. No, it can't be. I was going to say, because everything can get caught in the pedals. But that could happen with a maxi dress.
Well, I think you've got worse problems if you try and drive in stilettos.
What is a maxi dress?
Well, it's not a mini.
Huh? Oh, like a normal dress.
Like a long, to your ankles.
The kind that I've told you to wear and you just don't listen to me.
I'm supposed to cover up, but I'm just not.
Yes, you're just so, you're basically, recalcitrant. That's your problem.
And then a couple of animal laws. In Alaska, you are not allowed to tie a dog to the roof of your car.
Okay. Oh, my Lord.
Really, that we have to tell people that.
Exactly. In Florida, if you tie an elephant to the parking meter, you have to deposit money in the parking meter.
Oh, gotta love Florida.
If you tie an elephant to
the parking meter. Are there elephants in Florida? I mean, aren't they in Africa and India?
That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
Oh, that's great.
And in Massachusetts, it is illegal to drive with a gorilla in the back seat of your car.
It's like, sorry, that's my dad. He just hasn't shaved during lockdown.
Okay.
In Nevada, it is illegal to drive a camel on the highway.
Yeah, but that's the same in the Vol Triangle as well. They're very particular about
that. Do you remember those giraffes? Oh, no.
What giraffes? Ooh. What?
In Joburg, they were transporting giraffes.
Oh, no.
And they hit a bridge, and the one died immediately. And I think the other one died of injuries a few days later. Oh, no.
Thanks for bringing
this. Thanks, Leanne. We were having a nice, fun conversation, and you had to bring it down, huh?
If it's in my head, you have to hear it, I'm afraid.
Debbie Downer, that's what you are this morning.
In Minnesota, it is illegal to cross state lines with a duck on your head.
perfectly. What the hell? That's very I can understand that. I don't understand. Why do you people find that funny?
That's a weird one. But in Alabama, it is illegal to drive blindfolded.
You don't say.
Oh, what party poopers.
Alabama.
But is it is acceptable in Alabama for you to drive the wrong way down a one-way street as long as you have a lantern attached to the front of your car?
Oh. I get that.
Oh, my God. I used to take this one-way shortcut when I lived in Cape Town, and obviously I was going the wrong way. And I said to my partner, what happens if we get caught? And he said, well, all you have to do is say, but I was going one way.
All right, very nice. That's very nice, George. You've made us laugh. Leanne made us cry. We've had a great day all together. I think let's all be happy with what we've achieved this morning. Everybody have a nice time and a good weekend, and we will see you on Monday bright and early at 6 o'clock. Thanks to all our guests this morning, and most especially thank you to you.
Cliffcentral.com.